so good. You know, Jesus says in Matthew 16, is like, what's the point of getting everything you've ever wanted but losing yourself all at the same time? I just love the words in that song. Give me Jesus. It's Him who changes lives. It's Him who's brought us close. It's Him who's doing this in our lives, and it's Him who deserves all honor, all glory. Am I right? So thankful to Jesus. Why don't you grab your seat, say hello to the person next to you. If you do have little guys between 1 and 3, then Little Treasures is happening now in the library. You can find your way there by this door to the side of the stage. So we're in this series called Reset, because we think January is a great time to take a deep breath. Some people are on holidays, some people are right back into work, but we figure, you know, before jumping right back into the busyness of our world or of our life, it's good to just take stock. And just like that verse says in Matthew, Jesus saying, you know, what good is it if you get everything you ever wanted, but you lose yourself in the process? We thought, hey, what about if before we just get into that mode of living, that we're just kind of resetting and just thinking, we're thinking about our head. So we're looking at headsets, heartbeats and handholds. And the week before, headsets was really looking at where our mind is kind of dwelling, what we're set on. And we were looking at how the Israelite people would stack up stones as monuments to remind themselves. And no matter what sort of season they were in, they could always remember what God had done, how faithful God is, how good God is, and how God brought them through. And last week, Ames was sharing on heartbeats. And I know that for me, whenever I hear her voice, my heart just beats. But today we're looking at handholds, the things that we kind of cling to, the things that we take hold of, or the things that we're involved in doing, or the things that we kind of, I suppose, are investing our life into. And we think it's good to think about where your head's at. It's good to take stock of where your heart's at and what we're involved in. How many know that what you do isn't just what you do? It's important what we spend our time on. So we're really taking some time with this. And if I was to give like a title to my message today, it's this: when attention grows into intention. So when attention grows into intention. Because we give our attention to things quite, you know, freely, liberally. But I think intention is something that our attention should grow into. So in other words, it's not just something that occupies our time, but there's a greater purpose behind why that's occupying our time. In other words, we're not just doing something, there's a greater purpose. So really, to kick off today with, I just want to start with a question. And the question is the same question that every 2-year-old philosopher asks over and over and over again. It's what every person who works in a bank, when you apply for a bank loan, they will ask you is why? Why do you want this loan? Every 2-year-old is like, why? Why? But why? You know what I'm talking about? Parents, you've been there. It's like, just because it is. But why is really where I want us to start today. Why do we do what we do? Why do we put our attention on these things? Why are we involved in, and this could be like your work. It could be your hobby. It could be just what you find yourself doing when you're not doing anything as well. We really want to ask the question of why is it that we do what we do? So before we get into the whole swing of the year happening, why is it that we're involved in these things? And I suppose maybe a deeper question than why is, what's our motivation for it? What's our motivation behind that career? What's our motivation behind that activity that we are really invested into? What's our motivation behind what's taking up our time? And maybe for you, the motivation is you just enjoy it. Anyone do something because they enjoy it? Hopefully you're enjoying what you're doing. There's something in your life that you just do it just because you enjoy it. I think that's a part of life. There should be joy in living. And so there's something that you do just because you enjoy it. Maybe when it comes to your work, you're like, well, I've got to get paid, so I've got to do something, so I do this so I can get paid. That could be your motivation. Or maybe your motivation is, I've got to do something, so rather than do nothing, I do this. Well, my answer to you today is I think there's a greater purpose behind what it is that you do. There's a greater meaning. There is something greater behind what you're doing. It's not just for the sake of it. The reason is because I think you're created with purpose. Your hands. So in other words, our mind is created with purpose. Our heart, our relationships are created with purpose. And what we do, it doesn't just fall short. It doesn't rate. No, I believe that there's something that God is wanting to bring through what it is that you do. That happens to rhyme. Anyway, so here we go. I think, you know, even if we were to take stock of this room, in a minute we're going to go to Exodus chapter 32, but if we were to just look at this room, if you think about it, we've got Stefan, who's really good at working with cars or fixing cars. We've got, like, Michael Laddie, who's just great at all sorts of things, advising on the best way to cook meats and, you know, all sorts of other things. We've got people around this room who are great at lots of things. Sean's good at, like, putting things together. He's like, yeah, I reckon I could work that out and could put that together for you. We've got, like, lots of people in this room who just seem to be really good with their hands. They're good at doing stuff. I don't know about you, but for me, I have this idea, but it's like somewhere between here and here, like, the idea goes, and I just, like, Steve Sanders, another great guy who's just good. Yeah, I reckon I could make that, put that together. For me, I end up screaming at my hands, like, what's wrong with you? Why aren't you getting this right? Somehow between here and here, there's just this communication that doesn't happen. But then we got these show-offs who are just, like, awesome at putting anything together. It's like, yeah, you want that? I can make that happen for you. So there's people who are just skilled with their hands, and I think that's not just by accident. I think there's a God intention behind that attention. There's an intention God wants to bring out. And so, you know, with our hands, some of us are just really good at it. It's kind of like there's this skill or this ability. There was this guy called Larry Waters, and he grew up in North America, the kind of place in North America where in wintertime, like, the ice freezes over. So, like, streams would freeze, lakes would freeze. So because he grew up in this area, he knew the risks associated with water that freezes, and he knew how to stay safe on the road when it gets all icy. So one time, Larry and his wife were driving their big American pickup truck, you know, those sorts of big pickup trucks that everyone drives down south, or wherever they were driving this, and they needed to cross this body of water, which was frozen over. And so being who he was, and knowing the cautions and all that sort of stuff, looked at the area, thought, yep, he could see there was tire tracks across it. So he thought, obviously there's cars that have driven across here. But wanting to play it safe, he thought, no, let's not drive our car across. Let's take our four-wheeler across. So he had his four-wheeler in the pickup, as you do, I suppose. Who doesn't leave home without a four-wheeler in the back? But so him and his wife took the four-wheeler across, because thinking the car's going to be way too heavy, but we'll get across on the four-wheeler, no problem, then we'll be able to come back. As he's heading over, checking the surroundings, listening for that sound that you just don't want to hear, but inevitably he heard it as the ice broke and him and his wife fell through the ice straight into the water, only to find themselves fully clothed, now fully drenched, and finding that the thing that he was so skilled at failed him. Clinging to the edge, trying to pull himself up, couldn't pull himself out of the freezing water because he just couldn't get a grip on the ice. Just couldn't get, I suppose, a handhold on to pull himself to safety. So in other words, this thing that he was so knowledgeable in couldn't save him. It's like his hands were failing him. I don't know if you've ever felt like that, that the thing that you're really good at lets you down sometimes. It's like your go-to. It's like, no, I know how to sort this out. I know how to fix this. Anyone ever been there? It's like, yeah, I reckon I can sort this out. But it's that thing that even people have said you're really good at that. I don't know if you've ever felt like what you once placed your trust in was failing you. Your ability, your skill, your knowledge, your attention, it's failing you. Well, this is where this guy found himself. And I know for me, when I'm looking at things in life, Scripture is such a good place to go to. There's a whole lot of people in Scripture who are really good at things, really good at making things, really good at building things. Or even if we think about this, right, whatever you face, there's always someone who's been in your shoes before. You know, we always think, oh, this is just me. Like nobody else ever has what I have to go through. Chances are there's probably been someone. And if we listen to that advice of that people tell us that it's better to learn from somebody else's mistakes, who would rather learn from someone else's mistakes? That's why we can go to Scripture. So as we're thinking about handholds, our skill, our ability, what we can do with our hands, let's go to Scripture. Let's have a little bit of give and take. I'll say a name, and you can tell me what you think they were good at. You ready for this? No? Yes? You ready for this? All right, let's try it out. What do you think this person was good at with their hands? What were they skilled at? Let's start from the very beginning. Adam, what do you reckon? You have to shout at me. I listen to too much loud music. Oh, gardening. So Garden of Eden, his job was to garden. Yep. Everyone, yep. All good with that? Yep. So that was kind of his role. What about this guy? Cain. Killing. Sadist. Straight to the, yeah, he's good at killing. No. Yes, he did kill his brother. Cain and Abel. Let's like broaden it. I pretty much set Paul up for that one. But let's broaden it a bit bigger. Cain and Abel. Anyone know what was Abel good at? Farming. Yep. Cain. Hunting, I don't know, maybe. I think he was a gardener as well, if we look through it. What about Noah? Yeah, he built a boat. First guy to ever build a boat. You got to feel good about that. Here's a tricky one for you. Nimrod. Yeah, I know. Who's Nimrod? For me, growing up, I just thought Nimrod was the name of a good Green Day album that I was listening to. Anyone with me? That was a good album. Rick's there. Yep. Nice guys finish last, all that sort of stuff. But anyway, Nimrod was the great grandson of Noah. And he was known as the great hunter. It's like we've got a hunter in our church. His name is Hunter. This guy was the great hunter. And it was said that he was a guy who was involved in building cities. He was probably the guy responsible for the Tower of Babel, most Bible scholars think as well. So this great-grandson of Noah, who built an ark to save the world, was responsible for the Tower of Babel, which, yeah, all sorts of other gear. All right, what about this guy? He's a bit of a triple threat, maybe quadruple threat. His name's David. What was he good at? He's a shepherd, yeah. Leading people, he was a king. He was a soldier, he was a musician. Yeah, so he's like better than a triple threat. So he was skilled in so many things. What about this guy, Paul? In the New Testament, he was a teacher. Anyone else know what he used to do with his hands? Yeah, he used to make tents. So he was good at making tents. All right, here's an easy one. Jesus. He's made the whole world. Yeah, I'm just good at making the whole world. Doesn't even have to use his hands. He just speaks and the thing is made. But we also know growing up he was a carpenter. But here's my point, right? We can be good at stuff. This is full of people who are good at stuff. But a lot of the time the stuff they did didn't actually equal what they were really needing in life. And we can find ourselves in the same position and we can actually go to Scripture and see what they've done, the patterns that they've laid down. In other words, there's something we can learn from somebody else's life. But I also believe that there's a supernatural element to what we do as well. What we do is important. What we do is valuable. Come with me to the book of Exodus chapter 31. There's a really interesting guy there. His name is Bezalel. If you're pregnant or thinking about getting pregnant, Bezalel is a name you may want to steal before somebody else does. But anyway, Bezalel. Here we go, chapter 31. Then the Lord said to Moses, look, I've specifically chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, grandson of Hur of the tribe of Judah. I've filled him with the Spirit of God and I've given him great wisdom, ability, and expertise in all kinds of crafts. So in other words, he was really good with his hands. To the point of where he was so good with his hands, it's like he had a supernatural ability with his hands because God had put his spirit in him. It says, he is a master craftsman, expert in working with gold, silver, and bronze, and he is skilled in engraving and mounting gemstones and in carving wood. He's a master at every craft. This isn't just like some good rating on your LinkedIn account. This is God saying he is a master at every single craft. You know how we can kind of make our resumes better than they are? This is God saying now he's a master at everything, right? Read on, it says, I have personally appointed Aholiab, son of his father, of the tribe of Dan, to be his assistant. Moreover, I've given him a special skill to be a gifted craftsman so that they can make all the things I've commanded for them. They can make the tabernacle, the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark's cover, all the furnishings in the temple, the table, the gold lampstand, the altar, all of these things these master craftsmen can build. What is going on? I think here what is going on is there's actually more to what you do than what you do. That God has placed something within you that is not just a skill, is not just an ability, that is actually meaningful and purposeful. And we could give it our attention, or we could allow it to grow with intention and see how when God has placed something within us, your ability is not just your ability is from him to bring about something greater than you probably realize. Which means your business isn't just business, it is personal too. That kind of means that this, that the thing that you're good at isn't just a thing you're good at. There's greater reason behind it. There's greater purpose. The people that you work with aren't just your workmates. There's something else in that connection, which maybe for you it's this, that artwork you've been working on isn't just an expression of you. It's actually an expression of God's spirit inside of you. It's not just what we do. There's a greater purpose behind it. Maybe for you it's like this. Cooking a meal for people in your home isn't just about feeding. There's a greater purpose of what God wants to do through that. Maybe for you it means this. Your area of service in part of the team isn't just about doing a task. There's a greater purpose, which is about seeing people connect to Christ. Maybe for you it means this. Your interactions with people are not just interactions. There's a greater purpose God wants to do. We're all skilled in so many different ways. What are we really saying? We're really saying this. We believe that there's a God who is in heaven who sent his son so that we could know him, who sent his spirit to infill us so that we could carry his spirit. In other words, what you do isn't just what you do. There's something greater than that. The thing I love about this is it says that they made a tabernacle. If you don't know what that is, pretty sure that was the tent of meeting. What does that mean? It's a place where God and humans were interacting. Somebody made that. Imagine if they never made that. In other words, God said, hey, I'm going to give someone the special ability to create something which is going to set up a place where God and man meets. There's another thing he said, who made the Ark of the Covenant. What was the Ark of the Covenant? It was something really special, signifying that God and man are now together again. In other words, there's all these things God is saying, hey, we need these as things to remind people that we're meant to be together, and I need someone who's skilled to do it. In other words, what you do isn't just about doing that thing. There's a greater significance and purpose behind it. They all point us to Jesus. Earlier this week, my daughter Macy posted a photo. She was reading in her devotions, and on the Bible app, you can like highlight a verse and put an image behind it and post it to share. She posted this one. It says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether you eat or whether you drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. In other words, what you do isn't just what you do, whether it's just eating, whether it's just drinking. It's not just eating, it's not just drinking, it's an opportunity to give God more glory and give God more glory. In other words, what we're doing with our hands, what our hands are clinging to, isn't about that thing. It's an opportunity for God to get all glory. Why does God need the glory? He doesn't. He's not like he's needy, but all glory belongs to him. And have you ever seen something that is so amazing? Who gets the benefit? The viewer. So in other words, whatever we're doing, let's just let it be an opportunity where God's getting glory so that all who view that thing are just caught up in how good he is. In 1975, there was a mechanical engineer. His name was Tim Leatherman. And he was on holiday with his wife in Europe. And they had like a little Fiat that they were driving rounds in. And you'll see some photos of them. There they are, back in the 70s. Said that they were trying to do like a budget holiday. So they had this little car, staying in cheap, dodgy motels. He found that while they were on this budget holiday, he needed to keep repairing the car. So with a trusty pocket knife that he kind of had, he would be tinkering away to try and get this car working again. Story goes that like the hotels they were staying in, he was fixing like leaky taps and all that kind of gear. Apparently he said to his wife, if only this knife had like pliers attached to it. If only like Steve already is like, oh, that's a great idea, because he's a guy who makes everything from nothing. He can just do that. But anyway, this mechanical engineer thought, hey, if only this could also grip things, then I could probably fix heaps of stuff. He was so inspired by his own idea that when he got home from his holiday, he set out to make a multi-tool that was like a pliers and a pocket knife. What he thought would only take him a month took him 3 months, and that was kind of like his prototypes along the way. Once he got it finished, he then got a patent for it, so it was like legit, and he tried to sell it. So he started selling it to all these companies. They're like, nah. And it was called Mr. Crunch. Maybe that was why it wasn't really picked up by the other companies. Is it a breakfast cereal? What? I'm going to hurt my teeth if I try and eat that thing. But you know, he tried to sell them. And for 3 years, he just got rejection letter after rejection letter, doors shut in his face. Pretty much the manufacturers were saying, don't be ridiculous. Who needs a multi-tool? The world doesn't need pliers and a pocket knife. That's a stupid idea. This guy had a friend who partnered with him, and they said, let's change the name, because Mr. Crunch, let's be honest. So they made a few tweaks, and they got their first sale, 500 units. By the end of that year, they had a goal of selling, I think it was 4,000. They ended up selling 30,000 of these Leatherman tools. 9 years after their first year, so 10 years later, they sold 1 million of them worldwide. Just an idea this guy had. Imagine if he gave up after the first rejection letter. In other words, what I'm really getting at is he had an ability to create, and you have an ability to create. He had an ability to do something, but I would say it's more than just an ability to do something, and you have that same thing. You may not be great at creating things, but I believe that God has put something within you that when we move it from just an attention thing to an intent, what is the greater purpose? Why has God placed this within me? January is a perfect time for you to take these moments for God. God, what do you want me to do? What's the big idea behind this? Why have you skilled me with an exceptional ability to do this? Imagine if he gave up. I think with every promise of God, there's always going to be a moment of giving up. I think with every seed of greatness, there's always going to be a moment where you've got a fight to push through. And for this guy, it was rejection letter after rejection letter until a friend joined him. Maybe you've got that ability of coming alongside somebody. Maybe you've got the ability of speaking life. Maybe you've got the ability of reminding someone of God's goodness. Imagine if that wasn't just an ability, but we took that to the next level of being intent about what's going to happen through our hands as we surrender our hearts to God, who is the head of our life this year. How about we stand? In a minute, we're going to worship. But just before we do you remember Larry and his wife in the water? The knowledge that he had failed him, said that they kind of realized there was no way out for them, and he swam to his wife and kissed her with the realization of, we're going to die here together. No one's going to come and save us. We're going to die here in this freezing water. And so that after they kissed and he kind of just gave up, that his hand brushed his pocket, and in his pocket was a Leatherman. Pulled it out of his pocket, drove it into the ice to make a handhold to pull himself to safety, which then he could pull his wife to safety. Imagine if Tim Leatherman gave up. Which means there's probably somebody else on the other end of what God's doing in you this year. It's more than what you do. It's so much more than what you do. It's so much more than an ability. It's a God-created purpose. It's a God-seated destiny. It's so much more. And for this guy, that Leatherman was the handhold that saved his life. And can I tell you that whatever thing, whatever ability, it's never going to be big enough to hold us. It's never going to be strong enough to hold us. Whatever knowledge, even that's not going to be strong enough to hold us. But I believe that Jesus is the great anchor for our soul. I believe that Jesus is the great anchor for every situation that we're going to come through. And that's why he gets the glory. And that's why we're standing. And that's why in this moment, we're going to turn our attention to him with intent. And God, I want to be yours. What good is it if we get everything we're ever after, but we lose ourselves in the process? Jesus, we love you. We turn our attention to you in this moment. God, the service we do isn't about our service, the thing that we're gifted in, God. We don't want it to be just the thing we're gifted in, God. We want to turn our attention to you and see this seed of greatness that you placed within us, God, where we've rejected, where we've squashed it. God, we ask for your forgiveness. But God, thank you that in every person here, that you are the head. We pray that in every heart in this room, that we would have a heart that is open and soft to you, that with our hands, that we would be quick to surrender that to you, that it's not just the thing we do, but there's a greater purpose behind it. Jesus, we love you, we honor you, and we were here to worship you today. Why don't you fix your attention on him this morning with intent? God bless you.